All right, Dan, in your household, did you discuss politics at dinner at all or just over
Well,
coffee?
we eat over the coffee table, so we don't
At the
have.
coffee table. How did you ever talk politics or is that just verboten?
No, we talk politics, yeah.
It's normal behavior in my house. And over the weekend, my in-laws were in from Missouri and they wanted to know one thing. Is that Michael Bloomberg going to run? This is a true story. We had a long discussion about it because the mayor of New York, this billionaire businessman, he's a recent Democrat turned Republican. He's made some moves that look like someone who might be considering getting in the race. Now, his latest smooth move was to attend a high-profile nonpartisan unity forum. Yeah, that's what they called it. It was at the University of Oklahoma. Now, the attendees were prominent Democrats, Republicans, independents. There were former senators there, governors, ambassadors, and cabinet members. So this was a
There's
formidable
a lot
group
of
of
bling at
people.
that group.
No kidding. They all want, quote, moderation in government. They want to break the current partisan logjam. Here's Bloomberg in Oklahoma just yesterday talking about the problems he sees with the status quo.
Government is dysfunctional. There's no collaboration and congeniality. There's no working together, no let's do what's right for the country.
Do what's right for the country. Bumper sticker? I don't know. So we want to talk to Ron Brownstein, the LA Times columnist, political director of Atlantic Media Company, and the author of the book, The Second Civil War: How Extreme Partisanship Has Paralyzed Washington and Polarized America. Hey, Ron.
Hey.
So the Dallas Morning News ran this editorial about this Oklahoma conference. I want to read you this one little bit of it. It says the presidential candidates naturally are devoting every possible moment to New Hampshire and the list of states that await them after that. But they may want to look over their shoulders at the impressive list of moderates slated to attend a national unity meeting at the University of Oklahoma. One of them happens to be Michael Bloomberg, an independent with an apparent itch to run for president and the bucks to scratch that itch.
He has the bucks to scratch any itch, but yeah, it is an unusually impressive group that has gathered, and the sponsors are very clear that this is not necessarily a Bloomberg for President organizing committee. I've talked to some of the people who are going, for example, former Democratic presidential Gary Hart, who says very explicitly that's not his goal in going here. But it's also true that several of those who are going to be in Norman, Oklahoma, are saying that if the parties don't nominate presidential candidates that they see as capable of reaching over this hyper-partisan divide that we've talked about in the context of my book, that they would be willing to support such a candidacy. And in fact, there may be room for such a candidacy, depending upon how the nomination fights come out.
Let's look at who's at this conference. Christy Todd Whitman, former governor of Jersey, Senator Chuck Hagel from Nebraska, once thought to be a candidate himself. Former Senator Charles Robb of Virginia. You mentioned Gary Hart of Colorado. Do they all have something in common? Have they all been people who've been able to broker bipartisan deals?
William Cohn, Sam Nunn, generally people. David Boren, who is of course the sponsor or the convener of it, former senator. They're people who tend to be at the center of each party. On the Republican side, certainly the moderates have been more marginalized over the last generation than on the Democratic side. The Republican coalition is more uniformly conservative than the Democratic coalition is uniformly liberal. So you have people like Christy Todd Whitman, Jack Danforth, who really I think feel as though they have been marginalized in their own party. Chuck Hagel, someone who faced a primary challenge before he announced that he was stepping down, retiring. He faced a primary challenge from the right this year on the grounds that he hadn't supported President Bush enough. But on both sides, what you've got here are people who believe, I think correctly, that we are unlikely to make real progress solving the problems that we face without building broad bipartisan coalitions. And Allison, one thing that's striking as I talk to you from New Hampshire is how much that language has migrated into the speeches of many of the presidential candidates. Certainly, it is a centerpiece of what Barack Obama is talking about. And looking at the kind of response that he's received and the kind of coalition that he attracted in Iowa and these enormous crowds that he's attracting in New Hampshire, we're hearing pretty similar language from not only people who you would expect, like John McCain, who actually does have a genuine record of working across party lines, but people like Mitt Romney, who have not been heard talking in this vein before. Certainly, Mike Huckabee talks a lot about trying to reach across party lines, and Hillary Clinton gives a more nuanced message where she basically says she will reach out to Republicans, but she will also curl up the fist if they're not cooperating when she does reach out.
But I'm actually old enough to remember when George W. Bush promised to be a uniter, not a divider, and Bill Clinton promised to do the same thing. Even Richard Nixon said after 68,
bring
America together. So why does it so rarely happen?
Well, there are structural reasons why politics is more polarized. Both parties' coalitions are much more homogenous than they were a generation ago. The conservatives have more sway in the Republican Party. Liberals have more sway in the Democratic Party, although not as much as on the Republican side. And the base of each party becomes a force that pushes away from compromise. If you've been reading your blogs, you will have seen that in the kind of the liberal blogs over the last several months, there have been a steady drumbeat of criticism of Barack Obama for talking about working across party lines and ending some of the partisanship. He's been attacked by Paul Krugman, among others, who says that is a fantasy. And in fact, not only columnists and commentators, but John Edwards is out there on the campaign trail every day saying it is a complete fantasy. You are living in Never Never Land if you think you can build bipartisan cooperation in this era. There is a portion of each base, each party's base, that is really suspicious not only of the other side, but really of the very idea of compromise. So that is a centrifugal force in American politics. But look, if you look at what's happening in this election, I think you are seeing a real resonance to those who are talking about moving beyond the hyper-partisanship that we've seen under President Bush and probably the last half of the Clinton presidency. In essence, we have a lot of candidates out there promising, as someone else did, as you said, to be a uniter, not a divider.
So I'm getting the feeling you think an independent candidate could actually make a dent in this race.
Well, I guess it depends on what the parameters that the major candidates set up. If you had John McCain and Barack Obama as the nominees, two candidates who very clearly are appealing to the center and are touting their willingness to reach out across party lines, I think that is a tougher race for them to find a foothold in. If you have Hillary Clinton, who is seen as a polarizing figure by many Americans, even though she does also, I think, in many ways have an instinct to reach out, and Mitt Romney, who's run a more ideological campaign, then you've got a lot of room. Sure, you not only have a lot of room, but you have a backdrop that could be very favorable because you will have intense conflict between the major party nominees over those 9 months. And, of course, I think the ultimate scenario for Bloomberg would be the Hillary Clinton-Rudy Giuliani race, which would, I think, strike most Americans like being stuck on the F train between stops for 9 months.
I've had that happen.
You don't want that
to happen.
Just because their instinct is so combative. So I think a lot depends on what happens, but there's no doubt that Mayor Bloomberg is thinking about it. And also, going back to the meeting today, one of the things that is really important for a third-party candidate that Ross Perot couldn't do was get other people of stature to validate the idea of them running. I think it's, the major parties sort of start off with an assumption that they're relevant. It doesn't start that way for most Americans with a third party. You need, I think, impressive people with real resumes standing around you. If Mike Bloomberg has Chuck Hagel as his running mate, this is a very different thing than if he has, the late Admiral Stockdale that Ross Perot had. Who am I? Why am I here?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the ability of folks like the kind of people meeting in Norman to validate something like this is, I think, a very significant potential factor if he decides to go forward. And, of course, it doesn't hurt to have, $1 billion laying around that you can throw into television.
Well, you brought me to my very last question. Aside from the billions of dollars that Mike Bloomberg has, what does he offer as an independent that any other independent can't really offer?
Well, what he offers is a blend of fiscal conservatism, social moderation to liberalism, and a perceived management competence and executive experience with the added patina of coming from outside the political world, having that whole business experience. I mean, an independent candidate almost by definition has to be an outsider, right? Because the people who are going to be attracted to this are those who don't feel at home in either party. I think it's hard to imagine kind of an insider independent candidacy working very well. And he has a profile that will have an audience in the country, depending, though, I think, on who the nominees are. And the other factor that does weigh on any independent candidacy, I think, is the Nader precedent, which is, there were very liberal people in New Hampshire and Florida in 2000 who voted for Ralph Nader and got George Bush for 8 years.
I feel like I have to say this professionally for the record. Mike Bloomberg has said He's not running for president, as of today anyway. Ron Brownstein is the LA Times columnist, political director of Atlantic Media Company, and the author of the book, The Second Civil War, How Extreme Partisanship Has Paralyzed Washington and Polarized America. Hey, Ron, thanks a lot.
Thank you.